You may be seated. I guess you're going to have to stand up again. We're going to read the Bible in a minute. Amen. You have your Bible? Turn with me to Acts chapter 27. I was praying that, you know, what to preach tonight. I've got about 10 messages here we could go through all night, you know. But the sister was singing, and the Lord said, this is what I'm supposed to preach. So Acts chapter 27, verse 14 to verse 23. Get up here, get nervous. Let everything fall apart. Man, you see, Brother Jay, I thought you'd done it for almost 30 years, you don't get nervous. I had a preacher one time. I asked him, I said, preacher, you ever get nervous to get up there and preach? He said, three people, 3,000 people, I get nervous. He told me this. He said, son, the day you don't get nervous, get out the pulpit. You relied on yourself too much. Let's read the Bible. Acts chapter 27, verse 14 to 23. The Bible said, but not long after there arose against a tempest wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear it up with the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, in which when they have taken it up, they use helps in undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, straight sail, and so were driven. And when they had been exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day, when we cast out with our own hands to tackling of the ship, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appear, and no small tempest laid on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not having losing from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I'd exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and am served. Let's pray. Father God, you already confirmed that this is the message. Lord, please help me to help your people tonight. And Father, I pray that please hide me behind the cross of Christ. And Lord, I pray that please you help your people. And Lord, you say, well, if we open our mouth, you will feel it. And Father, help us tonight. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody say this one time. Tell me down just a tap, okay? Somebody say this one time. They said, in a Christian life, you either, if you've been a Christian a length of time at all, you either in a storm or you getting out of a storm or you're getting ready to go into a storm. Tonight, for a few moments, I would like to help give you a message tonight. It's called What to Do in the Storm. What to do in the storm. Someone sang a song along this line, says, I have been through enough. He had brought me through enough to know that the next time I will overcome again. The Lord Jesus said this. He said, in this world ye will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He has overcome the world. He conquered death, the grave. He resurrected from the grave, and now he's set on the Father's right hand, making an intercession for me and for you and for everybody in here. I said, Brother Jay, I don't understand this thing coming to my life. I don't understand it. It's okay, child of God, to ask your daddy why. It's okay. It'll make you better, Christian. When somebody else go through what you went through, you'll be able to lend a shoulder and say, amen, I went through the same thing you went through. Nothing is an accident or oops, oh, in this life, as a Christian life. Everything, every purpose, everything that happened in our life, whether good or bad, it happened for a purpose. That is to make us better Christian. Just don't get bitter. What to do in the storm? One evening, a father and son, many of you heard about the Lake Michigan. They said Lake Michigan is an unpredictable lake. It could go from 80 degrees down to 35 degrees in less than 30 minutes. And the father and his son went out fishing. Well, they got fishing. They caught so many fishes, and they forgot the warning of the radio. Suddenly, the storm came into their life, and the father did all that he could and started the boat and took off to shore, but it was too late. If you know Lake Michigan, when it starts to tumble, it really does. It's also a very cold lake, too. So the father drove the boat real fast, and he saw in the distance there's a big boulder, big rock. He said, son, I want you to climb on that rock and go as high as you can and stay there, and I'm going to go for help. And when the father left and he went to shore and got the Coast Guard and brought the Coast Guard back, and they came back and to get the son. And the son, this is what he told the father. He said, Dad, I did not let go of the rock. I did not let go of the rock. What to do in the storm? What to do in the storm? First of all, when you are in a storm, church, tonight, many of us are in a storm. Verse 18 says this, and we read verse 18, it said, and we've been exceedingly tossed with tempest. The next day, they lightened the ship. What to do in the storm is, when you're in the storm, get rid of all your excess baggages. Get rid of them. Don't keep them. Because if you keep all that weight on you, the boat will sink. So get rid of all the heavy weight. What does that mean, Brother Jay? Do not go to the lost people for help. They don't know nothing. They cannot help you. Go to God. And get rid of your problem. And just go to God and ask him to help you get rid of your heavy weight on the boat. Number two, what to do in the storm? Verse 20 said this, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. Number two, what to do in the storm is you get along with God. Get along with God. Those should be the most precious time. You get along with God. If tonight you have not got the phone call, you will get the phone call. One of this day, that phone call will come, and you'll be so surprised, and your back will be against the wall, and your knees just tremble, and you'll fall to the ground, and you'll say, how can I go on another day? That day will come. Be assured that you are in trouble. Your heavenly daddy is not sleeping. Amen. Get along with him. That's the best thing you can get. Help in a time of storm is that you get with God. Amen. You get closer to God. Not only that, you get along with God. But in time of storm, what to do in the storm? Realize that he's with us all along. You remember the painting, the seashore painting, the footprint. One night the lady, she went to sleep and she had a dream, and that she was walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, as the story goes. Two set of footprints in the sand. Now she asked the Lord and said, "You know what, Lord? When my life was so hard, and we look back, and I only saw one set of footprint. I only saw one set of footprint. You told me that you would be with me through all my life. When my hard time came, I only saw one set of footprint." You know what the Lord Jesus said, told her? He said, "Child, when that time came, I was the one to carry you." Amen. Realize that he's with us. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the Bible said this, "And I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That's a promise. Then there's no precedent in our lifetime or past us have made any promise like that that they kept. But our God, he will keep his promise. He will go with you. He said, "I will go with you even until the end of the world." It comes very close to end now. We may be in heaven next year. Did you listen to the news lately? We're turning our back on the Israeli. Christ can come get us, take us home. All this mess will be over. Not only that, he's with us. Not only he's with us, but he promised. He made a promise. "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Titus, Romans chapter 4, verse 21, the Bible said this, and we read, "What he had promised, he was able to also to perform." You can look throughout all the world, at all the religion, all empty. At the end of it all, they could be such a religious person, but at the end of it all, they would cry into the night, and they know that they had drawn their last breath. They will say this to you. If you stand there, they will say this to you. They will say, "Is this all there is to it? Well, they're such a good religious person, but it's all empty. There's no hope. There's no tomorrow for them." But he said, "I promise you that I will go with you. I will stay with you. If you are in a storm tonight, hang on. Stay strong." Do you realize that the strongest tree that stands out there is not the one that stands around in the middle of the other tree? The strongest tree are the one that stands all by itself and went through the storm. They're the strongest tree. They cannot be beat. He promised that he'll be with us. He'll go with us. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible said this, "And hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world begun." Before this world ever come into existence, he said, come out. And all this thing came to exist. He made a promise way before that. He promised that he would go with us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible said this, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promise. His promise is precious. The Bible says he cannot lie because he's God. He won't lie when he promised. He said, Brother Jay, but I don't understand. Why do I go through this? Will make you stronger. A military, I appreciate all the men and women that serve in the military. But I'm very specially interested in the Navy SEALs. I studied a bit of the philosophy, and it's known, it's historical fact that 67% drop out when they go into the school. But those men, and when they finish the training, and when they got their, what they call their reward, their thing, rather know what was going on. I don't know what they call it. Exenia, yeah. They are just some different men. The biggest, the meanest Marine, fire Marine in the room were not even dare want to touch one of them. Why? Because they've been through some storm. Especially there's a week called Hell Week. 48 hours, no sleep, underwater, cold. When they came out of that, there are just some, and soldier guy, bunch of guys, soldier out there, they go and they get killed. You know, there's nothing mentioned about it. But if some of those guys, I remember Panama, they got some bad intelligence. And 8 Navy SEALs die. Somebody have to answer to the president. God said he will go with us in this training, that this thing that you're going through, or you will go through, trouble that you will go through, it's going to make you a better soldier. It's going to make you a better Christian. It's going to make you a better to serve God. He's prepared you to do this. Hey, let me just say this to you from my heart. I've got that phone call. I've told you the last 24 months, it's been rough. It's been tough. But listen, he had brought me through enough to know that the next time he will do it again. And when I look back then, I look this morning, I look back, he brought me through so many. I say, pray it all, I can get through this too. Amen. With him is possible. Amen. With him is possible. Church, we're going through right now. But we can become bitter. Yeah. Don't become bitter. Our God is not dead. He's not up there sitting up there in heaven and taking aspirin, twirling his thumb, and saying, I don't know what's going to happen to Pacific Baptist Church because preacher is sick. Hey, listen, God had a plan for this before the beginning of time. It will make us better. Lord, don't let him make us bitter. Last but not least, thank him for all things. Yeah. Tell you a story. Y'all remember old Job? The book of Job? One day, and all his children are dead. Only the servant came to tell them. Now, on top of that, he got so sick. You know, his wife told him, honey, curse God and die. That's what she told him. But you know what Job said? Naked I came. Naked I will return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, after all this ordeal in Job's life. You know, I was teaching this to my Bible student, and I said, you know, one day God and the devil had a gambling day. They sure did. God bragged on to the devil. God said, did you ever see my faithful friend Job? Devil said, he's a man. You let me deal with him. He cursed you. And after all said and done, Job didn't quit. It's going to be rough. It's going to be tough. If you've been a Christian 3 days, hey, I'm not one of these preachers, prosperity, wealth, and I'm not. I didn't drive no limousine. I didn't drive no Mercedes out there. By the end of it all, in Job's life, the Bible said God blessed him double. God gave him double. That means he has 7 kids, right, Brother Montgomery? 7 children. That means at the end, Brother Myers, he has 14 children and double his wealth. He is faithful. He promised, and he will carry through. Let me give this verse. I'm done. Verse 35 on Acts chapter 27 there. And he gave thanks to God in the presence of all of them. The Apostle Paul. He stood up. They had a shipwreck. They about went down into the deep. But the Apostle Paul stood up. He'd been with God. He had talking to God. He said, God, what's going to happen? And an angel stood there and said, Paul, don't worry about it. No man will die. But the boat, I can't promise you. The next day, the Apostle Paul stood there and he praised the Lord. He thanked God. And in your time of trouble, thank God. Thank God. Let him know that he is the only God there is. Tonight, right now, we sit here, and we're here, and we're sitting in our nice comfort home, and a lot of people out there in Long Beach, I'm not talking about the world, in Long Beach, they pray to their God, and their God had ear, had mouth, had ear, but cannot talk, and cannot hear what they say. But tonight, we're here, and our God is in heaven. Church, he's not dead. We may go through some problem in life, but church, can I say this to you? We will be all right. We will be all right. I don't read the last chapter of the book. We won. Hey, the devil just waiting right now. He is trembling. Because his minute is counting down. Wouldn't it be nice before we went back to the mission field, Christ come back, call us up, take us on to heaven. I don't know about you, but that's the only thing that I'm looking forward to. I don't see and hurt, ache. There's nothing in this world. Say, hey, Brother Jay, how do you know it? Not far from here, the place called Hollywood. They got the fame, they got the fortune. How come they have to take drugs to go to sleep? And take drug to stay awake, and take drug for everything. They got it made. Amen. Then how come they have to do that? You know why? Because they didn't have Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
They didn't have Jesus.
Yep.
May go through to a storm. Getting ready to go to a storm. Remember, he is there. Waiting for you. He does not do that. Because he doesn't love you. He does it because he allowed that because it's going to make you stronger. Make you the elite of the elite. Because you are getting ready. You know the devil fights so much, Brother Steve? You know the devil fights so much? If we just be a lazy church, not doing nothing, come. And not doing anything for God. The devil like that. The devil fight because. us. This church is going forward. You ever know a church? You ever know a church has sent 12 family out of their church to mission field? The devil will fight. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed.